What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Between Two Tackles. I'm your host, Alex Spinelli, and alongside me, as always, is Ray Volo, Di Montalbano, back on the pod with us. Dino, you're flying high towards the draft. I love it. Welcome back.
Yeah, dude. Bro, I was, you know, I didn't like
being. We missed you.
I missed this more than you missed me. I know that.
I mean, that's true.
That's true. You know, life happens. I got a lot of stuff going on, but I'm really happy right now. I do have the time to, you know, sink my teeth in this, and I'm happy to be back. And I genuinely like this class kind of a lot, more than I thought I would, for sure.
Ray, how'd you feel about the safety class?
I mean, it's so-so in my eyes. I think I personally don't include Cooper DeJean in here, but I think he'd be a Pro Bowl caliber safety if he does transition. And then Mikey S. from Michigan, I didn't really include him in the safety group either. I view him more as a true slot cornerback.
Yeah.
But like those, if you include those guys, I think the group would be very intriguing. But I feel like I really like the top three, four guys. And then after that, kind of like, so.
Yeah, I think I'm splitting the difference between you two. I have a group of like seven guys that I think are like round three type players that I think can make an impact in the league. I actually really liked what I saw, especially from some of the top guys. And then even some of those, the guys I have from like four to seven, I think do play a role in the NFL. Maybe it's as a rotational type of player, but I do think there are a lot of guys from this class who are going to get on the field. So it should be an interesting group. But let's get right into it. We got safeties today. Ray, who you got at number five?
Sorry. At five, I have Jaden Hicks from Wazoo, the redshirt sophomore. So this was a three-star recruit coming out of high school from Las Vegas, actually. And he's played in 25 career games with 23 starts. So this is someone who really outperformed his recruiting ranking, which I love to see. In 2022, he started, I think, the whole season, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe just without two games, rather. 76 tackles, two tackles for a loss, one sack, one pick, and six pass defended. And then this past season, he started every game. He had 79 tackles, six tackles for a loss, 2.5 sacks, two picks, and four passes defended. So he got a little tick up in the interceptions. This is a big-bodied safety. And these are the type of guys I love personally. So I was a little disappointed when I watched his tape, but I still think he's got the goods to be an NFL starter. Maybe take a little bit longer than I anticipated. But this is a guy he tested really well at the combine and pro day. So at his pro day, he ran a 4.48, which I think is a lot faster than he plays on tape. But the verts was 37.5 and the 10.2 broad. So he's a good athlete. He's got some explosiveness. This is a guy that you want playing close to the box, I think. He makes a living making plays behind the line of scrimmage. I mentioned those six tackles for a loss. I think that's really where he makes his money in the run game when he's being aggressive coming downhill. He can match up with tight ends and wide receivers out of the backfield in man coverage, but that's not really how you want him playing. Some of the limitations, I just don't really like him as a deep zone defender. I think when he comes down to make tackles, sometimes when he stops his feet, and he does not have the start, stop, start ability. He doesn't really get in and out of his breaks really fast, and it shows. And when he stops and then has to like reaccelerate, guys just fly by him, and I think that really hurts him. So he takes some questionable angles when he's a deep safety, and he just doesn't really have, when he doesn't have the confidence, it really just doesn't work. It doesn't end well for him. So he's at his best when he's coming downhill, when he wants to be like a bully in the pass game and kind of like dislodge the ball from receivers. He's good in that regard, but when the guy has the ball in his hands and running after the catch, I think that's really where he's a little bit of a liability. So I view him as a strong safety. You really want to play closer to the line of scrimmage. And I think he needs to get a lot more reps because he is still a young player to really get more confidence in his eyes, because I think he can be manipulated with his eyes a lot. And some of the routes he takes are just really questionable.
Yeah.
I think he's probably like top of, I, sorry, but just to like close it off, I think he's kind of a top of day three type of player who you can start if you have to, but you'd prefer to have him be the third safety, maybe like a big nickel type player, and then go from there, have him develop.
Yeah, Dino, you got Hicks anywhere?
I got Hicks at, I probably have to put him at six. I agree with a lot of what Ray has to say about it, but I'll divulge a little bit more later.
Yeah, I have Hicks at five as well. this was one of the first guys I watched, and I thought I was going to have him higher than five. And then I watched some of the other guys who just have a little bit more instincts in coverage than he does. But Ray, I agree with what you said. This is more of a true strong safety, a guy that you're playing as a lighter linebacker, let's call it. He's definitely a scheme-specific type of player. This isn't a guy that I'm having as my single high safety. But I do think there are some interesting matchups that you can play him in. Like you said, with the tight ends, he's not a Kyle Hamilton type of player. But in those type of roles that the Ravens use Kyle Hamilton, I think this is the type of player that you can use him as. He's tough in the box as a run defender. He works through blockers really well. He takes on blocks like a linebacker, honestly. He's really tough on the inside. He can stack and shed. Ray, I know you didn't love his angle. I actually thought he takes really good angles, which I think allows him to play a little bit faster than he does on tape. I know he ran well at the combine, but the thing for me why I have him at five is the long speed, I think, is a little bit questionable on tape. Especially when he's in a turn and chase type of position. And then that short area quickness that you're talking about. I think the shiftier slot type of receivers, when he gets matched up on them, is going to be an issue for him at the next level. And then I also agree, I also wrote, can have his eyes in the backfield for too long, allowing plays for wide receivers to get behind him. But I do think he's an interesting player. I do think this is a guy that you can have in, like you said, as that big nickel type. But he's a good one. I think the media has him a little bit higher than where he's going to end up going, just because of maybe the concerns that NFL teams have about that long speed and that short area quickness. I feel like a lot of media people have this guy as like a top two type of safety, and I just don't see it that way. All right, Dino, who you got at number five?
Yeah, number five has got to be Kalen Bullock for me. 6'2", 188. I do want to add, my eyes tell me he's 6'3", 6'4". So I trust my eyes.
He's long.
Yeah, got to trust tape. Got to trust your eyes. I don't really believe in measurements. But 6'2", measured 188 pounds out of USC. Played 3 years for the Trojans. Definitely one of the best ball hawks in this class, and a class that has a few ball hawks for sure. I'm sure we're going to get more into a few of them when we get higher up into our rankings. But snagged 9 picks in 3 years, two of which going to the crib. Having a little bit of nose for the end zone needs to be a plus, needs to be noted. For rank 5 to about 7, it was really, really tough for me. But really what won me over for Bullock was the fact that, well, obviously he's very decorated. He was a freshman All-American, first-team All-American last year, where he had 5 picks. And then this most recent year, a great conference in the Pac-12. He was first-team All-Pac-12 and a conference that is not devoid of talent in the secondary for sure. That's awesome to see. But on top of that, USC asked Bullock to do basically everything. One snap, you could see him in the box. Next, he could be over the top. And he did have obviously a fair bit of time with some coverage snaps in the slot. And I just feel like for a player that is not extremely well-rounded, the fact that this team just trusted him, told him to go do those things, and he didn't just do them. He really excelled at times. And even if he did get exposed, I mean, he went to the next snap like it was nothing. Don't forget, this is an extremely young kid. I believe he's 20 until the 30th of this month. At the next level, you know, Bullock won't sniff the box, but, you know, again, he's a guy who just, whatever he's asked of him, that's a huge plus in my book, especially at the safety position, where from year to year, we could see these players in the NFL basically doing a whole different position in the defense. Or if a defensive scheme changes, they need to be malleable and really adapt to the situation. Kalen is definitely, and Sauce said it when I talked about him being 6'3". He's really that new age, freakish length, rangy safety that, you know, you want to have great IQ, which I really believe he does, and coverage skills, and is a lot of times when they're coming out just average enough to at least be intriguing to develop into the tackler you want him to be when it gets to open field tackles in the run game. Obviously, Kalen throughout his 3 years was a bit of a liability in that aspect, but I really do think from year one to year two to year three, he definitely improved in that and could be someone if he had some bulk and a little bit to that frame, which screams sub 185 to me. I don't know how he got to 188. Must have been eating his Wheaties that morning, but maybe he bulks up and fixes that lack of physicality. And just one last thing. I know a lot of people are saying that he's just a true center fielder and that's where he'll be. But I really don't think we should discount the chance of a team really wanting to develop Bullock into a player that can play a fair amount of snaps in the slot at the next level. And for Kalen, I think sky's the limit for this kid. He's definitely a high ceiling kind of prospect and someone that you're going to possibly think, I mean, what was he, 4.48 for his 40? I mean, you know, everyone is drooling over the fact or the prospect of having a Kyle Hamilton make that kind of play he made. I forgot on who, where he, you know, makes a play legitimately sideline to sideline, like at the blink of an eye. And Kalen, I mean, he's, you know, lacking 2-3 inches there, but he could be that guy.
Yeah, Bullock's tape is really like an up and down roller coaster. I do think he does a lot of good stuff on tape in terms of the coverage stuff. They didn't use him a ton out of the nickel from what I was watching, but I actually do kind of like some of the stuff that he was doing out of the nickel. When he gets hands on guys, like, he's really effective. I want to see him be a little bit more physical because I feel like he is kind of with his overall size, he's a little bit of a finessey player. But when he does get hands on guys, especially out of the slot, some of those smaller wide receivers, I think he did some really good stuff. I mean, he's a former wide receiver, so I really like some of his route anticipation stuff. I think he does a really good job in that. But the stuff in the run game, I mean, he gives you almost nothing. He gets washed out of the run game so easily. He gets mauled by people consistently. He takes really bad angles when he comes downhill. So his ride is very up and down. But Dean, I like what you said. He's the type of player who's got short-term memory loss because he'll get beat one play pretty bad, and then he'll come back the next play and make a big play, which is a very important trait for a secondary player, where things are just very fluid throughout the course of the game. So I have him ranked at 7. I have him ranked at 8 right now. But I do think he's got a shot for a team to take him possibly late day 2, early day 3 as a type of projection upside type of safety. Ray, where you got him?
Yeah, I got him at that 8 spot too. So when I put him on first, and I was really excited just because of the kind of the hype that he's had as like a taller, rangier type of safety. But when I saw him, I was like, this guy looks like a cornerback. He looks like a cornerback playing safety. He has no thump to his game. I feel like his eyes aren't really mature at all. I feel like he gets fooled a lot on misdirections, play action, biting. And then I was looking at like Zuerlein on like the NFL page. I was looking at the his like combine times and whatnot. Yeah. And the first thing he said is like, this guy may transition to cornerback. And I, honest to God, I don't hate it. I think I think he's a day 3 prospect regardless. I think there's so much refinement he needs. So I don't hate the idea of someone just saying, fuck it, let's transition him to a corner and see how he does. Cause I think the physicality and the feel that you need to play safety, he just does not have, in my opinion. I think he's a raw athlete with good ball skills and really good change of direction. He's quick to trigger. So I do think that maybe a nickel is his home, but I think maybe playing him more strictly a cornerback could be a potential move for him.
Yeah, I don't know if I love him as much on the outside. I think that nickel spot is probably where he ends up. I struggle with like some of the physicality stuff on the outside that he's going to face. So I think maybe that nickel spot is right for him, but I do think there are occasions obviously where you have him as your single high just because of the overall athleticism that he's got. But
he's got so much athleticism, but I feel like he just the routes and angles he takes, yeah,
he's
like,
so raw, dude. I mean, he's
a drunk driver.
Yeah. He's so young, man. I mean, it's this is a guy that it's going to take time. I think with a lot of these guys that we're going to talk about, some really good instinctive players, he's just not there yet. But the ball skills are great right now for a young player. So I like that type of upside. I think, yeah, early day three, I think a team's going to take a shot on him. Ray, who you got at four?
Four for me, I have Javon Bullard from Georgia. It's kind of a tweener, if you will. So I mentioned how I had Cooper DeJean and Mikey S. in the cornerback group. And this guy, I didn't know where to put him. I kind of asked Sauce, I think 2 days ago, I was like, what are you doing with him? He's at safety. So I'm like, fuck it. We can do it. Because this is someone I can see playing in a cover two shell type of position too. But he does have some real slot potential. So he's 5'10 and a half, about 198. He ran a 4.47 at the combine, which is really good for him. And he's obviously from Georgia. I don't know if I mentioned that, but three-star recruit, someone who, and he played from sophomore year on. So he really got on the field early in a great defense, which I love to see. And because though he's undersized, he plays really fucking gritty. Not as much as Mikey S, but he's a gritty ball player. Starting on those Georgia defenses for 2 years, you kind of have to be gritty. I love his versatility to play, like I said, either as a slot corner or as a two shell cover two type of cornerback, which I like. They got solid ball skills, 4 interceptions, 8 picks, 8 passes defended rather the last 2 years. So the thing with him is that he's not going to, I don't think he has the ability to really play a cover one. Like, I don't really want him as a center fielder at all. So in that sense, he's kind of limited to, like, I think he's at his best around the line of scrimmage. And he's someone who, when I think he lets wide receivers stack him a little bit, and when that happens and he's kind of recovering, he gets a little grabby, which I don't really like. So as a last line defender in particular too, I think it's kind of worrisome. But to me, this is a guy who can go back end of day two, maybe early day three if he falls a little bit. But he's someone who I think he can be a starting slot and really be a similar type of player to Michael Carter II for us. Or he can even play, like I said, as a safety. So I'd like the versatility in that regard. And I think he's just going to be a solid starter and get extended after his rookie contract.
Yeah, I love me some Javon Bullard, man. I mean, you said it. Getting on the field, I mean, we talk about it all the time with these Georgia guys. Getting on the field at Georgia as a young player is not easy, and you have to be tough, and you have to be smart to do it. And he's got both of those in spade. I think he's got great awareness in zone coverage. Really good football IQ. He really knows how offenses want to attack him. I think he's pretty good in man coverage, man. I think he's extremely sticky. The long speed is a little bit of a question, like you were saying, when he gets stacked. But I think some of those shallow crossers, that underneath stuff, like, he's excellent staying in wide receivers' hip pockets.
Really good at fighting through traffic on those plays.
Very. And then in the run game, I mean, he plays above his size. He just does. He's physical down in the box. I mean, he's another one. There are plays where he's shedding like a linebacker at his smaller frame. So I love me some Javon Bullard. I think the lateral agility is like adequate right now. He's a little tight in the hips and when he's got to turn and run. And I agree. I think his home is in that nickel position. I do think you can play him in a pinch as your single high guy, but that's not where his home is going to be. It's going to be at that nickel spot. He did have some tackling issues. I mean, he's a smaller guy. He's got shorter arms. There are just plays where he doesn't square up ball carriers, and he's kind of diving at their sides or diving at their legs. But this is just an extremely high floor type of player for me. I have Bullard at 3. This is a guy that I think gets on the field immediately in the NFL just because he's so smart, knows what he's doing, and he's tough as nails.
Yeah. I'll add to that. I'll even go right ahead and just say it. He's number 3 for me. And for a lot of the reasons that you guys put out there, I love what you said about his floor, Sauce. I exactly see that. This is a guy that I trust on an NFL field now. And that's just because of how he plays. He is exactly what his team mascot is in college. He's a dog. And I do want to add one more element to his game. I feel like was overshadowed, and I saw definitely more than a few times on his tape. And that was I just love his ability to recognize routes and then virtually just run the routes for the receiver. He is that exact guy you watch and you worry about his long speed, and you worry about, honestly, his next level athleticism. Because when I see him play and I see his footwork, it looks like he takes less steps to get further and to get where he needs to be. But I was very encouraged by his 4.47 40. But obviously there are some concerns there. But I can't shake the high floor ability that he will have right out of the gate.
Right. So, Ray, that was your number 4. Dino, who you got at number 4?
Yeah, number four, I got Cam Kitchens out of Miami. I have him and Bullard in the same tier. It ended up just being slightly for Bullard, in my opinion. Cam, out of obviously the University of Miami, 5'11", 203 pounds. People are starting to very much get turned off by Kitchens because of the lackluster testing and obviously measurements that he just had out of the combine as well as his pro day. But I just want to say this and state this, especially for this position, because it needs to be said and needs to be harped on quite a lot for a lot of people in this industry who do say that about the safety position pretty willy-nilly. And if you just look at the analytics, the position with the least correlation between relative athletic score and Pro Bowls, all pros, or just flat-out snaps being awarded to them at the next level is overwhelmingly the safety position. And just to boil that down, I know Ray might be scratching his head. He's not an analytics guy, so just please bear with him. In other words, unless the player has the athletic ability of a Big Mac, just trust the tape when it comes to the safety position. Yes, Ray, talk to me.
I was agreeing with you. I was pointing to my eyes because that's what it's all head and eyes with the safety. That's why athleticism doesn't mean that much.
Oh, no. I don't.
But you're using your little dorky ass nerd numbers. I'm using my head. So, yeah.
No, I just wanted to use any excuse to make fun of you. Now to the meat and potatoes. Cam's tape oozes instincts. He's ferocious and he just got great ball skill. I see him as really the high floor version of Bullock, but with that extra grit in him, a guy who could have great communication for you, a great guy that you want in your locker room as well, and someone who's going to predominantly be over the center of the field. And honestly, for any more details, I kind of want to hear what you guys say, because I'm assuming you guys have him a lot higher than I do.
I got him lower than you do. I have him outside my top five. Ray, you want me to go? Is he in your top five?
I was going to let you go first, Sauce.
I have Kitchens at six. The production is outstanding. There's no denying that. The instincts are good, and that's maybe just too... Maybe I'm just overlooking that, honestly, because for people who have listened to this pod, you know I'm a sucker for production at the college level. Like, these guys who produce well but don't have athletic testing, those are guys I usually like. But this is one I just couldn't really get there with him. Like I said, good anticipation. He plays that single high position pretty well. He's got some range, and he can fit in a run defense. But for me, the play speed really worries me. The lack of athleticism, I think, just catches up to him at the NFL. I don't think he could play in the nickel, honestly, with his speed. I don't think he's a good man coverage type of corner. He's definitely that single high free safety, maybe more of a cover two type of safety when he's got another guy on the opposite side of the field. I think he may struggle early at the next level, just trying to catch up with that NFL speed. I think he takes some bad angles too. And the thing that really got to me, I watched, I think, three games of him. This dude jogs around the field so much. Like, it looks like he doesn't play hard, which for me as a safety, you're the last line of defense. Like, you need to be playing hard. You're the last guy back there. Like, you need to be playing hard. I just don't know when he gets on the field, how long that's going to take. And I think for him and a lot of these guys, special teams in their first year and their second year is going to be extremely important. Is he going to be willing to play special teams? Is he going to be willing to go down and fight for an NFL roster like that? I don't know. He's got a lot of pedigree, and maybe if he gets pushed down boards, he's going to get a little frustrated. The play, like aggression and just competitive toughness for me was really turned me off from him compared to a lot of the guys who I have ahead of him who just play their asses off every single play. So that's why I have him at six. But again, maybe I'm just overlooking the production from him in college, and maybe he'll just continue to do that at the NFL and make me look stupid. And I hope he does.
Yeah. So I have him at three. I really like this player. I was actually pleasantly surprised. I thought I was going to have, Bullock and Jaden Hicks higher than him just because of all the kind of shit on he's getting in the media. But it was the other way around for me. He reminds me a lot of one of my guys from last year, Jair Brown, who got on the field late against for San Francisco, rather. And they kind of had the same arc, I would like to say, because Jair Brown is another one who I loved, and he tested absolute dog shit. And people started overreacting, and he ended up going back into
the one like the 80s, right?
And I think the difference between the two players,
where did Jair go? Like 80 something?
In the third.
Yeah, he went in the third. And I think the difference between the two players is Jair plays his fucking ass off every single play, and
now,
Kitchens doesn't.
I was gonna say, I think there's a little bit more dog in Jair, I'll give you that. But I think the ball skills are very similar. So I love the ball skills Cam Kitchens has. I think he probably can play as that single high role in the NFL. I think he's probably best suited in a split zone look. But he's another one I was very surprised. He plays down the box a lot, and I think he plays well down there. I think he plays well in underneath coverages, and he can really make plays behind the line of scrimmage if he's asked to in the run game. He had 2.5 tackles for loss only, but he's good at working through traffic, and he's got a bully mentality a little bit. I know what you mean, Sauce. He doesn't really fly around like he's playing with his hair on fire, but on some of those deeper digs, he comes down hard and really likes to lay the wood. I think he has a good feel for the flow of routes and just overall game too. And I think he makes him play a little bit faster than that 4.65 or whatever would suggest. Some of the negatives, I do worry about how that speed's going to play as a true center fielder. So I don't know if that's a role that you want to ask him to play that much, but in the NFL today, it's kind of going more to that split zone nowadays, especially with the speed that's just killing the league. And then sometimes his tackle can break down a little bit, but I feel like that's a lot of the safeties in college. They like to dive and light people up or just take out people's legs a lot. And then lastly, I think you mentioned this, Sauce. You don't really see him play man coverage a lot. So that is one concern I do have. I don't know how he'll be able to hold up on third downs, but that being said, I think he's a good zone safety. I think I don't know if he's going to be able to start day one, but I think he'll be able to get on the field early in his career and be a solid starter.
Yeah, I also felt, I don't know if you guys felt this way too, that he was hunting for big plays, and that also causes a lot of plays that he fucks up on.
That was my big, I thought definitely, and just like, I feel like it's weird. I feel like it contradicts both of you, but agrees with both of you, because I feel like he was loving to make that big play and try to lay the wood and just make a big hit. And that's what got him amped and got him juiced up. He's kind of one of those guys that needs to get juiced up in a positive game state, kind of like it's the new Madden where you have your intensity bar going up. He's kind of like one of those guys. But I saw it as a big negative at times because he definitely is a guy who takes too aggressive of an angle and kind of is made looking stupid for sure.
Yeah, I think I forget who we talked about this maybe last year. It might have been it was not a safety. It might have been Ika, the defensive tackle from Baylor. It was if you watch the highlight tape of his 10 best plays, this might be the number one safety for me. But when you watch him play in and play out, he just gets pushed way down.
I thought I was going to be the lowest on him, to be completely honest with you. And that's why I stopped. That's why I halted my speak on it.
So. All right, but I can't knock you guys. I mean, he's had the most production of any of these guys over the last couple of years. So like what you guys had. And I like when we disagree a little bit too, because that's always fun. That's always fun to get into. I'm at number four here. Let's try to keep this moving a little bit. I got Dadrian Taylor Demerson from Texas Tech. 5'10", 197, had 72 tackles, 4 interceptions, and 7 pass breakups this past season. His instincts are A+. This dude is a ball hawk. Over the last 3 seasons, he's had 10 interceptions. He is fast to trigger when he reads quarterbacks' eyes, and he's got excellent route anticipation. The recovery speed is really, really good. He ran 4.41 at the combine. Can play that single high position, but I think his best spot is going to be in that nickel position. He's extremely twitchy. He's got long speed, like I said, and he loves to play physical with guys down on the line of scrimmage. He's a solid tackler for his smaller size, got a little bit shorter arms. I want to see him stand up and make tackles more. He likes to go low and wrap up the legs, like Ray said, a lot of these college guys do, but I think that'll come. Some of the negatives right now, he's another one. He's always got his eyes in the backfield, and he'd get burned a little bit by that. Some got caught on some double moves and a couple splash plays. and a smaller player, and for all the toughness he has, his run game defense is mediocre, honestly, at this point. He doesn't really take on blocks. He tries to slip everything, and he's just a lighter player. He doesn't have much power and pop to stand up blockers and deliver hits, but man, I think that nickel position is becoming a starting position in the NFL. It's so important for how many of these elite receivers like to play out of the slot now. So this is a guy that I would feel comfortable playing one-on-one out of the slot. Just let him run free. So I really like him. I got Demerson at 4.
100%. So that role and that role in the NFL is increasing in importance year by year. That's a fact. So I like that. I like Deverson a lot. I had him at 7. Like I said, my 5 to 7 was extremely tight. And I saw a lot of the same things you did, Sauce, even though for all the positives, I really thought that he was not only getting burned on you know, long developing routes like a double move and stuff like that, where he's kind of looking to jump that route and make a play. He also was very susceptible to having his eyes stuck in the backfield where he gets beat on a play action and the receiver's just blowing past him. In the run defense, just like you said, he definitely
the fuck is Mr. Biggs doing back
then? Mr. Biggs is pushing my computer and all over the place. Additionally, he definitely loses some of his technique and fundamentals when he's in the run game, both while taking on blocks, where he just kind of relies on. I've seen him do it a few times where he just kind of leans his shoulder around and tries to like slip the guy. I don't even know what to call it. And then the guy just gets his hands on his back and he just had it going nowhere. And additionally, where he's kind of just diving at midsections where he's not really trying to wrap up and make a sound tackle. But things can clean up, but very exciting prospect and definitely probably my second or third favorite, like that nickel hybrid kind of type that I would want in this class.
Nice. So we all went through our number three. So we're at 2 and 1 right now. And the way it's shaping up, we all have the same 2 and 1. Ray, who you got at number two?
I have your guys's boy, Cole Bishop at 2.
Let's go. Cole Bishop, safety 1 season.
Yeah. CB. He was neck and neck with Tyler Newbern, who's my safety 1, spoiler alert. But this is a guy I really like just because, first of all, he's big. He's big and filled out as a safety. I thought he's another one. I feel like I had a lot of incorrect preconceived notions about these guys. I thought this was going to be a little bit of a leaner player just based on the way he tested. But no, he's filled out. He's got a grown man build. I also didn't know he's a true junior as well.
He's young.
Who's started 29 of 35 games he's played over the last 3 years, which I love to see. This guy got on the field.
Dog.
Immediately at Utah, 2022, 83 tackles, 6 tackles for a loss, 1 pick and 3 passes defended. And this past year, 60 tackles, 6.5 tackles for a loss, 3 sacks and 2 picks. I'm pretty sure he missed a couple games this year too due to an injury, I'm not mistaken. But he ran a 4.45 40, 39-inch vert, 10.4 broad, so great athleticism. And this is a guy who can legitimately play all 3 spots as a quote-unquote safety you want. I think he can play single high. I think he can play in the slot. I think he can play in the box. He's really good in those regards. He's a solid tackler, a real physical player too. Like I mentioned, wasn't anticipating that. But this is a guy who's quick to trigger and close downhill and really not afraid to lay the wood. Trying to think what else I'm saying. Solid tackler, I mentioned. Some of the negatives, I think, is just the shorter arms. He's sub 30 arms, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really going to limit his take on skills. But I think he did a good job fighting through traffic in college. But I always kind of worry about how it's going to translate in the NFL. He's another one I mentioned. I think it's a kind of a common theme with these college safeties that when he comes downhill, he's trying to kill people. And that can lead to him diving and not kind of breaking down with a nice form tackle. So I think he's kind of got to play within himself at the NFL and really limit those missed tackles. And then lastly, he's someone who's, I think, quarterbacks can really manipulate him with their eyes. He takes a lot of missteps. He has the athleticism to recover, but I think once he gets older and more mature, that will probably settle down a little bit. But right now, I think he is susceptible to be fooled a little bit. So I think he is definitely, I'll say top 60, 75 player. He'll go on day 2 for sure. I think he's someone who could start day one in multiple roles too. So he's a really intriguing safety prospect.
Nice.
Yeah.
I have to add, and we'll just do it now, right, Sauce? And then
go
to Newbin together. But yeah, instant impact player as a freshman, just like you said, true junior coming out. Can't discount the fact that in his freshman year, he instantly came out and was, you know, again, an impact player. And then, you know, went to the Pac-12 championship, led the team in tackles, had a big time sack, was blocking passes in the biggest game, you know, of his life, again, as a freshman on a star-studded defense, a great defense in the country. And then again, expanded on that role in impact as a sophomore, and then again won the Pac-12 chip, where he again led in tackles. You know, cannot discount his elite athleticism. The 1.52 10-yard split, 39-inch vert. I mean, those are silly numbers for just looking at him. And exactly what you said, Ray, it'll surprise you a little bit that he's that filled out and that physical and that fluid. I mean, I watched a ton of Utah the past 2 years, and Bishop was consistently all over the field. Your eyes gravitate to him. I remember watching Clark Phillips III last year, and I remember being like, yo, this guy is something. His acceleration just jumps off the film, and is definitely the main reason I highlighted his 10-yard split, because I'm going to be honest, I think his acceleration in game is even quicker than that 10-yard split. I don't think you could argue that. I think he's the best box safety in this class. He just has great patience, great instincts in the run game, knack of timing his blitzes, where he is consistently hurrying the quarterback and disrupting where that throw is going. Morgan Scally, you know, entrusted Bishop at Utah primarily to slide really down in the box and along the line of scrimmage and really just find and exploit any gap that was presented. It basically all year for the past 2 years, at least. And I say entrusted because this was basically the main chess piece position in this dominant Ute defense. Obviously there were question marks left by this because he really wasn't, you know, you weren't seeing any of his coverage capabilities for the most part. And, you know, you got to be a little bit nervous at the next level, you know, with the lack of experience there. And again, not knowing what his capabilities are there, but, he goes down to Mobile and he shows and, you know, proves that his lack of wingspan doesn't really matter as far in coverage and all those one-on-one drills. I mean, I watched all of them, and, you know, we know in those one-on-one drills, we know they're a little gimmicky because that D-back is just basically, you know, left out to dry there. You're supposed to be extremely disadvantaged. And considering that disadvantage, he held his own the whole time. I know that Jim Nagy said that a lot of scouts and a lot of teams, executives and scouts within teams are saying that he truly impressed them during those sessions. And in my opinion, that's what took one for me. I agree. Newbin is definitely right there, but the only cornerback I'm considering taking in the top 50 is CB.
Yeah, I don't have too much more to add because you guys covered it really well. I also have Bishop at number one, just really fun to watch. And Dean, I like what you said too. I mean, I think him playing down in the box, it was really a scheme thing for this Utah defense, and you didn't see him a ton in coverage. But I do think those coverage tape plays that he's got are really nice, and I think the NFL, it's going to be really interesting to see whatever team selects him, how they use him, because he really is a chess piece. One thing I'll just add for the strengths, the way he works through traffic in the middle of the field is just fantastic. He never gets caught up by crossers. He's so good at passing players off to in other zones. It's just so easy and fluid the way he moves around the field. We talk about guys who I do think he does have a lot of athleticism too, but we talk about guys, especially at the safety position, who maybe aren't the best athletes, but are just always around the football. They always just have a nose for the football. He is always around the football, which I love to see out of my safeties. I think he does have some stuff to clean up. I think some stuff in the scramble drill. He gets lost in scramble drill a lot. He'll leave his zone or he'll leave his man to try to go make a play, and he's firing downhill when he's just got to hold on to his zone or he's got to hold on to his guy, and some splash plays end up behind him. And Ray, I think you were talking about this as well. He comes in so aggressively sometimes, and he doesn't come to balance, and he overruns plays. He's there to make the play. He's just got to hold himself back a little bit more because he's so juiced up. But, man, is he fun to watch. I think whatever NFL team gets him can deploy him in so many interesting ways that he's going to be really exciting. And I think this is a guy that you could put on the field day one, feel comfortable in almost any role. If he's in the nickel, he's in your single high, or he's down in the box, I think he can do a lot of different stuff. So I love me some Cole Bishop, and I got him at number one. Let's talk about Tyler Newbin.
Really quick, a team that won't be able to get them because they don't have a second or a third rounder is the Vikings, but Brian Flores would have wet dreams about a player like Cole Bishop.
Yeah, I'd love him on the Jets, too, if he got to the third round. I'm just saying.
That'd be amazing. I don't think he leaves the second round. I don't think it's possible.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, let's talk about Tyler Newbin. Tyler Newbin's a really good player. Who wants to talk about Tyler Newbin? I'll talk about him if nobody else does.
Right.
All right, I'll start with Newbin here. Newbin from Minnesota, 6'1", 199, had 53 tackles, 5 interceptions, 4 pass breakups, and a forced fumble this year. This guy, instincts, name of his game. He's a really well-rounded player, but the instincts are just outstanding on tape. He's had 12 interceptions over the last 3 seasons. He's got a really good understanding of route concepts, when to pass guys off when he's in zone coverage, and who is the primary receiver. He is excellent at identifying who is the go-to guy for the quarterback on a specific play. The back pedal is really smooth. He flips the hips easy to turn and run. He's got a physical play style, though, and he will come down. He will blow people up in the middle of the field. He really makes you think twice about some of those hospital balls on those digs and those slants across the middle. He just absolutely just eviscerates people in the middle of the field. I think for me, the reason I have him a little bit lower than Bishop, I actually have the same grade on them, but I just had Bishop a little bit higher because of the upside and the age. I think the long speed for him is just average. I think when he's in man-to-man against quicker guys, they can run away from him. He's another one. He could take some bad angles coming downhill, and with his average speed, he can miss some ball carriers. And then I think he could just be a little bit of a step late coming down the middle in run fits. But man, he's just really consistent when you watch him on tape. Those plays, like we said, like maybe there's a splash play, but it's gone the next play. There are very few miscues and missteps on his tape. Just a really consistent player, a guy that I will feel extremely comfortable playing that single high position, and just let him roam in the middle of the field.
Yeah, you said it really well. I love his ball skills in particular. I think he's another one, really versatile player. I think his man cover skills is one of the best in the class. I know you said he's just an average athlete where he may struggle, but I like his anticipation and kind of reading routes. He's someone who can play single high, split safety. Really, he can play that robber role too. Like you mentioned, when he comes down, kind of rocks the digs. I think consistency in like filling in the run game is one question. I think you mentioned the age, but the reason he's number one for me, I love the combination of just, I think he hits all of the, what's the word I'm looking for? Not metrics, but like benchmarks, I guess maybe you could say. He's got really good size and length, really good, solid athleticism, great ball skills. I think he just does everything so well. He's such a safe player, and he can play interchangeable roles. So I think he's someone who's going to be a starter in this league from day one for the next 7 years, and he'll put up some good numbers with interceptions, which I think is the name of the game nowadays. So that's why he's not my number one.
Right. No, it is. And I'll try to be as quickly as possible, but I can't recall the last time I watched a prospect and he just has clearly displayed that he is an NFL caliber player for 3 straight years, and it's just now he's coming out as a, you know, again, a 5-year senior.
Yeah. This is a guy we talked about last year, possibly coming out and being a top 5 safety.
It's wild.
But again, he just did everything right again this year. So I think in NFL eyes, I mean, again, I have the same grade for him and Bishop, but I think he's pretty firmly planted as the number one safety. And I think he's also planted himself in that second round. And like Ray said, this is a guy who's going to come in immediately and play well. He's just ultra consistent. He's a pro's pro. He'll be in the league for a long time.
Agreed.
All right. Let's run through our top fives and then we'll touch on some guys outside our top five. So Ray, give me 1 through 5.
I got Tyler Newbern at 1, Cole Bishop as 2, Cam Kitchens at 3, Javon Buller at 4, and Jaden Hicks at 5.
Do you know what he got?
I got Cole Bishop at 1, Newbern at 2, Javon Buller at 3, Cam Kitchens at 4, and Kalen Bullock at 5.
Yeah, I have the same top three. I have Cole Bishop at 1, Tyler Newbern at 2, Javon Bullard at 3. I have Dadreon Taylor-Demerson from Texas Tech at 4, and then Jaden Hicks from Washington State at number 5. Who are some guys that you guys liked outside of your top five? Ray, who you got?
I'm going to talk about my boy, Josh Proctor. This guy, he's a six-year player, so he's been through the ringer, really. Dealt with a lot of injuries.
He's got a family and kids.
Dude, this is a guy who he's always really flashed. In college. So he's made a lot of flash plays. He's a box safety. So I think he's, I want to say 6'1", 6'2". Let me just confirm that. His numbers quick. Yeah, 6'1 and a half, 32-inch arm. So he's big, 200 pounds, big and long. I really like him close to the line of scrimmage. He's someone that you really want to play around the ball. And I think that's where he really maximizes his coverage ability as well. I think the farther he gets away from the line of scrimmage, the more susceptible he is to being beat. But almost like underneath coverage where he's playing underneath the zones and trying to like read the QB's eyes and really helping in run support, he could be a good football player. This is a guy who's going to have to play a lot of special teams early, which I think he will do at a high level. He's got the physicality and like the athleticism for it. But he's someone who I think in a couple of years, he can end up being a starting box safety. And you're like, oh, wow, that was a really nice pick on day three.
Yeah, he's a good one. I think if he goes in like the 5th, 6th round, I think that's good value for a team. He's extremely mature player. He doesn't do anything like outside of his capabilities, which I can appreciate. But yeah, Josh Proctor is a good player. Dino, you got anybody that you want to talk about?
Yeah, I was planning on probably talking about Deverson, but we already touched on him. And I guess someone... I don't want to mess up his name, so I'm going to try to just read it. And it's honestly not even that hard. I'm just an idiot. It's going to be Keaton Oladapo out of Oregon State. Another great long production player on a defense that's been very good for the past few years. And I believe he logged over the past 4 years. He's a fifth-year senior. Didn't get a lot of play as a freshman. Played 7 games his sophomore year. I think he had a total of like a hilarious amount of snaps, like Tyler Newbern level snaps. And that's like 2,500, which is definitely can't be overlooked. Again, just like Ray said, and very similar to his guy, a guy who's going to be his own slot, but going to need to definitely stay on a team and, earn his spot on a team by playing a lot of special teams, and that's going to be fine for this guy. He is a willing tackler and someone who is definitely has got the grit and the stamina to potentially in a few years play that zone slot position in the NFL.
Yeah, I'll touch on 2 guys quickly because I want to have the second conversation quickly too. First guy I want to touch on is Malik Mustafa from Wake Forest. 5'10", 209. I love this dude's tape, man. I mean, it's crazy and chaotic, but this dude is just an absolute dog. He's so fun. He comes downhill with reckless abandonment in the run game. He can really take on blocks. I mean, he just bullies people. He goes in tough on contested catches, really likes to attack the hands. And like I said, he just plays with his hair on fire every single play. I think for me right now, he is just a box player. He's not a guy that I want as my single high. He can be slow to react, especially in man-to-man coverage. He gives a lot of room and a lot of separation for guys to work underneath him when he's in man-to-man coverage. But this is a guy that on special teams is going to be unbelievable. Cause he just plays his ass off every single play. I also want to touch on Sione Vaki because he does some fun stuff at safety. But, man, I think his best tape is at running back. I really do. He's just a gamer. He really is. I mean, he's averaged 7.5 yards per carry with almost 50 carries this season, just doing whatever his team needed to do. He had a massive game receiving. I think he almost had 200 yards receiving in a game too. So I'm really curious what your guys' thoughts are about him. I hope that an NFL team maybe gives him a shot playing some offense too, because he's fun with the ball in his hands. I think he's actually faster on offense than he is on defense, because when he's got the ball in his hands, he can kind of just go and he's not reacting to anything in front of him. So I don't know what you guys thought about him as a safety and then as a running back.
So I got to watch his running back tape, but I love the athleticism. And I think that this, no matter where this guy played, I mean, I'm not going to say that, but I think just the fact that he has those, that dual position capability, I think it's going to really increase his draft value. Surprisingly enough, he may not play both sides, but
like, can he be the fourth running back on a team if you needed him?
Exactly. I think that helps with the flexibility nowadays. And also just, this guy's playing special teams. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, it's a guarantee this guy's going to play special teams. So I think that really helps his draft value. I'm going to watch him as a running back this weekend just because we got our running back episode coming up. But I don't know. I mean, I've seen the highlights. I know he's obviously breaks a lot of runs, but I have to get more into the nitty gritty.
Yeah. I only watched a few games. I mean, he only has limited games at running back. But I did think the tape at running back was actually better than the tape at safety, which I found really interesting. So I would love for a team to just, you know, maybe you can carry an extra offensive lineman or a defensive lineman because you have a guy like this who can play as your fourth safety and your fourth running back if he can fill out multiple positions. So like you said, I think that position versatility for him to play both sides of the ball may push him up a little bit. So be really interesting to see what team takes him and then how they deploy him at the next level. All right, man. That was fun. That's going to wrap it up for us here on Between Two Tackles. Thank you for listening. Hopefully you enjoyed our safety episode. Stay locked in with us. We got a lot of good stuff. The draft is right around the corner. We got our final position rankings with the running backs coming out next week. We got the My Guys. We got our big boards. We got final mock drafts. So stay locked in for all of that. As always, please rate and subscribe to the pod and follow our Twitter at Two Tackles with the number 2. You can also find us on underdogpodcast.com and stick with us as we head towards this 2024 NFL draft. Fellas, appreciate you.